Allegedly.
It's a bevy of acronyms that we need to know in this industry, James. Sometimes I'm just, it's like a plethora of things that we need to know. But the one thing that we do, and we do it well, is we have lots of friends that'll
fill in the gaps.
Fill in the gaps.
I made new friends today.
So did I. I did make new friends today at the wine smelling. They were tasting, I was smelling.
The wine smelling.
People were cracking up.
I woke up this morning and I had imposter syndrome with my golf game, and I was like, I can't play on this course. It's too good.
Oh, no.
And I had basically talked myself out of playing by the time
I woke up. Yeah, and at 7-something in the morning, you were still in the same boat, and you're like, maybe I might, if it's a scramble or whatever. And then all of a sudden you get out there, James, you get to the driving range, and poof, 500, poof, 600, yeah. Poof, 700. I mean.
Feet, yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. Great back-to-back weaves, I'm telling you what. I'm getting spoiled.
You are getting spoiled. The Broadmoor last week, this week, Chateau Elon Golf Extravaganza. It's beautiful
fancy.
Here.
It's fancy. We are live here in Georgia at the Natural Gas Association
of Georgia
Industry Summit.
Yes, that is it. We are here. Our good friends, I think this goes back a year. Rodney Dill kind of paved the way to have us come into this and has loaded up.
There was a disaster in the hall just now. We won't talk about it.
We will not.
Never speak of it again. It's the second time.
It was almost a safety moment, but it wasn't.
That box is obviously flawed. beautiful property again this week. Can't beat it. Springtime in Georgia.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I mean, it was 44 degrees this morning. You know, up close to 70 in the afternoon. And again, this is optimum. I mean, if this was it year round, I don't think anybody would ever leave Georgia. It was absolutely beautiful.
Yep. You were just saying by invite, we ran into Rodney Dill. It was an APGA event.
Scottsdale, Arizona. Yes.
And had him on, talked to him again a little bit later, and then here we are. Right? He called us up and said, you guys want to come to Georgia? And how do you turn that down?
Oh, I mean, for me, it's funny because as I fly all the time out of Palm Beach, I fly Delta, and I'm in Atlanta pretty much lately every week, sometimes two or three times a week. And this time it was a one-trip flight into Atlanta, and then it threw me because I didn't know what to do. I know the inside of the terminal because I can hop planes as quick as anybody, but this time I had to get a rental car. And let me tell you, you get a rental car at Atlanta Airport, you better be on your game. You got to be paying attention because you're on a train ride for about 14 minutes, maybe not that long, and then coming back to get you. But you know what? It was beautiful. It was a great day. It was a great drive up. And I'll tell you, talk about this property here, being serious, Chateau Elon, absolutely gorgeous. And last night, I know we were beat, we were tired, and went to our rooms and, you know, compared sunset, or I showed you some sunset pictures. It's absolutely stunning here. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. I don't know why, but I didn't. Lots of good friends here this week. I just saw Mike Jewell walk in. Look at him.
Look at him.
They would let anybody in, that's for sure.
Be positive. I'm just going to say one thing. It's on my LinkedIn. B+ for be positive. That man right there. It's with me.
We're live. Sorry. It's just how we roll. We're going to be here. It's just one day.
Short. Yes.
We're here tonight. Going to open this thing up at the reception and then tomorrow all day. And then we're speaking tomorrow as well. Again, proof they'll let anybody in here. So it's going to be good. Back to
that place
with you, my friend.
Always, brother. Always.
We'll be bringing some people on and letting you know the good things happening in Georgia. Hey, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
Let's address the elephant in the room. All three of us are on this agenda. It must be hurt. I'm just kidding.
No.
We are a wealth of knowledge.
And we're after lunch, too.
Yeah.
So save the save the best for last.
What are y'all talking about?
Is it what are we talking about?
Working about associations working together?
Yeah. Right. So I think for us – APGA and AGA. We're at the national level, and I think Rodney just felt like it was important for the state association, which the Natural Gas Association of Georgia, which we're at, to hear what we're working on, but then also like figure out how to work together. And so I think it'll be kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Where it's already happening. Yeah. We just don't know about
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how to make it better. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we are here live.
Yeah. Before we get too, yeah, with our really good Sorry. Friend, before we get too far, because I have a couple points I want to bring okay. up, would you please introduce yourself? And yes. tell a little bit.
Yes. So Stuart Salters, Vice President of Government Relations at the American Public Gas Association. So y'all know our members well, but for those out there that don't, we represent the municipal utilities around the U.S. So there's about 700 of them, 38 states. So everywhere from Disney World to Alaska.
Well, I was
pop quiz.
Go ahead,
do it. Stuart's got to stump the trump.
All right.
How many municipalities in Georgia do you know, roughly?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, very accurate.
I think like 80 seems. I mean, I know that seems high, but like, you know, when you think municipality, like it's the smallest cities to the biggest cities, and so all the cities that are around the state.
I know MGAG, the Gas Authority, has, I think, 81 members, mm-hmm. but now they've actually started to reach outside of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think that's why they also changed the name to the Gas Authority.
Yeah.
But that's exciting that we at Energy WorldNet and our day jobs are starting to work more closely with them.
Yeah.
But I have to say, though, Stuart, again, a compliment to you for you being here. One, James, we've been running nonstop, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and
I've
we've
seen
been,
y'all.
We stood
seen
you
me.
Up two or three times. We,
that's all right. We have.
I'm here to be on the show. I'm sorry.
Next.
There's a line. We'll get to you anytime, Stuart.
I think we had a phone call or a Teams call, you and I. He was busy. We were just catching up. And excited that you were going to be here when we understood that we're connecting, so to speak. And I'm going to be in Naples in a couple of weeks myself. Yeah. But I'll tell you, though, I kudos to you and APGA because not only here, we see you on the road, and especially my home state, Finga.
Yeah.
You were in St. Augustine helping the gas association as well as the municipality members there, too. And again, kudos to you for doing that because that message – I can't tell you enough when people afterwards say, remember that time last time when we had that vice president from APGA here? Yep, and I'm like, Stuart? They're like, yeah, he took the time to come here to see us. And that really means a difference. Because that is where the rubber hits the road here. And I think this is a great thing. I'm on a soapbox now, but just let me go. One thing about this is that we had the municipalities here as well as the investor-owned and, again, the collaboration between the two.
That's very nice to see.
Yeah. So I just had to say that. And a lot of that's, you know.
Well, we enjoy it. I mean, I think, you know, we enjoy getting out there, seeing folks. I think we talked – sorry. Where's your tangent card? We need your tangent card.
I'm gonna take it.
No, but I mean, it's an exciting time, especially for the public utilities, because the Department of Transportation, PHMSA, the Pipeline Safety Regulator, it was given grant funding from Congress.
You've been a busy man.
$1 billion.
Yeah,
$250 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Already some awesome folks I see getting awarded.
Yeah.
And you're just getting started.
I know.
Like
I know. Yeah, it's an exciting time, busy time.
Yeah.
For sure. But definitely a fun time to give, to see these folks that need the funding get the funding. I mean, you're talking about little towns. I grew up in a little town, so I can say this.
Yes,
I can claim it.
You can.
But, little towns in your rural parts of our country getting just millions of dollars. And
to do, and
to keep people safe, to keep the energy flowing.
Yes.
It's so important.
Safe, reliable natural gas.
And for context, I mean, I just want to reframe this because you came on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's
true.
Ago,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's true.
And you talked about that program.
Yeah,
and we pointed people. So I think we did all that.
Yeah, that's true.
What I'm trying to say.
Congress didn't
These
do anything.
These three marketeers right here.
Yeah.
No, but truth is that was some of the awareness that started it, and some of these folks worked with you guys and others to go after some of those funds, and here we are and reaping the benefits of it.
Yeah.
So it's so neat to see kind of the full cycle.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a very good point. Yeah. And another point, too, I think we're in year two of that. Is it year three?
Year two. Mm-hmm.
So there's still time for other folks that are just hearing this right now to look at year three and four.
Yeah.
Because, again, it was...
His phone number
is 202... I stopped.
Oh, did we break up?
No, I mean, I think, you know, and you know, I'm the government relations guy, so I.
Aaron, obviously he's biased.
Well, I'm just, what I'm about to say is, yeah. I'm trying to put it in context because I don't want to give anybody too much hope, but don't want to give anybody too much, you know,
not hope.
Yeah. But my colleague Erin Carrillo, who's been on the show too, she works more with PHMSA, and so she's really the one running point for us on this whole kind of collaboration with PHMSA, getting the grants out. But it is a 5-year grant program, $1 billion.
So $200 million.
$200 million. Okay, yeah, sorry. You were.
I'm sorry. I was thinking $250
million. Yeah, you're good. Yep. But that's the thing is they actually brought forward money from future years to give out this year.
Nice.
And so they actually gave out $400 million this year. And so obviously you do the math. Like, well, what happens in year five?
Yeah,
you
know?
So we're hoping that this will be a program that we can continue to be, you know, kind of keep funding, keep going. And that's where I think from a government relations standpoint, we would love to see that. We're having conversations about that, but just recognizing the realities that some in Congress have with government funding and some kind of reservations about that. We're just trying to be, you know, strategic in how we have that conversation. And I think showing the value, like seeing these small towns in rural parts of the U.S., upgrading their system, making them safer, making them less leak prone. Like that's what we want.
Well, yeah, I mean, from that perspective, we're looking at a little green initiative.
Yeah, absolutely.
Greenhouse emissions. Absolutely. I'm being serious. So it is a safety factor and stuff like that. And a lot of these smaller municipalities, even the medium-sized ones, are struggling right now. They could be struggling. This could be a huge thing to help them to make that next step for reducing greenhouse emissions and safety at the same swath.
I was gonna, what did you guys do?
I missed it.
Well, I didn't want to step on anybody's toes, but you know, one of the things we like to talk about that differentiates us from the investor-owned utilities is that local control. You know, that, you know, you're the person working on your gas meter is the one your kids play baseball together. You go to church together. And so when you think about the cost to maintain these systems, it's expensive. And so, you know, I'm all for natural gas staying in business, and even if it means an investor-owned utility buys a public utility. But at the same time, you are losing out on some of that benefit of having that public utility kind of stay and maintain their operation in the city. And so this grant funding does a lot to preserve public utilities and their role in the value chain.
Yeah, and some of that heritage, too. I take it to that next.
Absolutely.
Some people are, you know, not just first, but second or third generation families that have worked for that municipality.
Yeah,
I tell you, there's a lot of pride in that. And
it makes me think of Jimmy Green.
And
that story he tells, and just that heritage in Anga this year, right? And not the theme. He talks about that very thing, and as we start taking those things away, it's a little bit different. But y'all have a seat at the table too. but it's true. That's some of the neat work going on here in Georgia. I think you probably witnessed it. Have you been to this event before?
I have not. No,
it's our first time too.
Yeah.
You could tell even last night. It's a great group doing good things, and they're sitting shoulder to shoulder working it out. Which, kudos to that. Anybody out there rumbling and having those conversations.
Yeah. And a few, like you've mentioned a couple times, yelling amen at the back of the room.
Oh, no, I can't wait to speak in front of this group. They're either going to kick us out.
Tomatoes or amens, you know? We're either going to get one or the other.
Well, I know we all got to get on stage.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, brother, for stopping by.
Always, brother. You're the best.
So we'll see where you go
Aaron,
next
we miss
on your road trip.
I can't.
Hey, we'll be back. I didn't know you were going to get special treatment.
Yeah, I tell you what.
Jim's our onboarding specialist for all things podcast.
That's the camera up there. These are our mics. They're super good,
great.
So you don't have to jump in.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, though, Rodney, James and I were talking about this. We do this all the time.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah.
We are blessed to do it. I mean, to be bringing back industry stories.
Yeah, sure.
So first and foremost, for you to really be the cog that got us here, to be honest with you, thank you so much. Because it was great. The stories we're bringing back, I mean, far exceeded even our thought process, which is great. And then two, I have to tell you, you as an individual, did one of the best jobs, and I'm being very sincere about this, about getting people lined up to be on the show. Oh, nobody,
he's our new agent.
Nobody has done it better than you.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that.
We have a position available we'd like to offer. Agent. You can make twice our salary.
That's awesome. Well, listen, let me just say up front, too, that having Jim and James here at the Natural Gas Association of Georgia event has just added a complete dimension, new dimension, great dimension to this summit.
Great.
And so, it's just been incredible.
Great.
Yeah, it's been incredible.
We appreciate the invite. What a beautiful facility.
Oh, yeah.
Can't go wrong here. Y'all plan the weather perfectly.
Oh, my gosh.
Chamber of Commerce weather.
We are live at the Natural Gas Association of Georgia. Rodney, I know you were instrumental. I heard from some people in this entire association. Kind of getting started back in the day. What inspired you to get started?
Well, it's just that as we recognized other state associations and just how they're a voice within their state, we just recognized that was a void here in the state of Georgia. And so while we're a young association.
10 years.
10 years, exactly.
10 years, is it this year or next year?
Next year, 10 years. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so with that void, we just recognized that we needed a collective voice for gas providers in the state of Georgia. So that was really important. And so, again, when you look at that brings together the investor-owned utilities, the municipals, the pipelines. And so while we may not agree on everything, that's okay. The one thing we can agree on is that we want to see the direct use of natural gas advocated for and promoted.
Yeah.
Important.
And, again, we talked about this a lot, but this is the first time you're probably hearing it from us, is that we were so impressed that the investor-owned utilities and municipalities, it wasn't us and them,
shoulder to shoulder, having
these conversations and, again, beautifully orchestrating at least the environment to allow that to happen.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, with the successes of a couple of the bills that we've seen through in the past 4 years has been just – you know, really impressive. I mean, for as young as association as we are, and, you know, we've got now our advocacy team built in place, running strong. We've got our communications, marketing. Hey, as a matter of fact, let me give you guys a tease. Are you guys ready for this afternoon?
Wait, this is a scoop?
Okay, this is a scoop that no one knows about. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. We've got Reservoir, who is our agency out of D.C., that's going to be unveiling a campaign this afternoon. And listen, I'll just go ahead and give it to you guys. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Energy Heroes, those utility workers. We just heard about the utility workers bill that was just passed. And so now we're going to be unveiling a campaign, our Energy Heroes, that deliver that warm water, that warm heat. The ability to cook on natural gas.
Wonderful.
And so that's coming this afternoon.
Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, awesome. Live from here, Jim and James. You got the scoop. Yeah.
That's
a
big one.
I'll
tell you what. Having your own podcast. No, that's a great campaign.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can interview some of those people in the future. You know,
would love to.
Yeah. We're trying to inspire people, obviously, that maybe haven't ever been out or gotten involved here at NGA. And you being instrumental, I know we just heard kind of your inspiration, but what would you challenge or charge those people with that maybe haven't gotten involved yet?
Yeah, I would just say, to those that are gas providers that are not directly involved yet, that it really is important that we, you know, just given the issues in our industry, right now. And so I think, really important is that as we message to consumers, as we message to lawmakers, policymakers, that, doing that collectively is critical. We're at a critical juncture, I think. It's an important time for us to be doing that.
That's great. Awesome. Yeah. That's great.
Well, we thank you for letting us be a part of it.
Yes.
We're excited to speak to this group a little bit later today.
Oh, listen, we cannot wait for the presentation.
Stage?
You guys, these guys are on stage. Yeah, Jim and James, and we're excited about that. I know the audience is excited. And listen, this is just the first of many is what we're hoping for. Okay, so we want to see Jim and James at future meetings.
It's one thing to be invited. It's another thing to be invited back.
There you go.
Time can be a mistake. Twice, it's deliberate.
Yeah.
And we would be honored.
You guys are great.
We'll see you down the line, brother.
Okay. We're going to be back.
All right.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Living my best life.
I tell you what.
Life is good, isn't it?
So good.
So good.
And you know, it is so good. And this morning, I'm not joking, this is one of the busiest mornings we've had in a while. I mean, back to back to back. People wanting to come on and just tell their story. And
I swear, we need Rodney as our agent.
He is
out there hustling. He's like the Flavor Flav of Georgia. Yes.
I saw you gentlemen on LinkedIn talking to Rodney at some conference across the Southeast, and I was like, Rodney, we got to get these guys here. APTA. They're making an impact. The word on the street is out.
Yeah. We make it exciting.
I think we have another advocate. This is our follower in the race.
This should be our Flavor Flav.
Let's do it. Money talks, gentlemen.
Oh. Do us a favor. Well, you haven't seen our budget.
Yeah, I hear you.
Those who don't know, you introduce yourself. Yeah. And who you are.
Sure. I'm Sarah Gillis, Manager of Regulatory Affairs / Marketer Services for Atlanta Gaslight.
Okay.
So really serving as a liaison between Atlanta Gaslight and our valued external stakeholders, the marketer community, but also interacting with our Public Service Commission staffers as well.
So you work with Chris a lot, Chris Turner.
Maybe? Chris is actually, he works for Georgia Natural Gas, but they are a brother sister of the Southern Company Gas Enterprise.
Chris and I are very close. I'm out of Florida, and we're both board of directors for FINGA, so Chris and I got to be very good friends through that.
Very powerful organizations at FINGA and Alabama Natural Gas Association, and you know, I'm passionate about getting Natural Gas Association of Georgia to that level.
Yes, and that's the energy it takes. And this thing is, this is our first time here, James and I. And we got to know Bill DeFore and Rodney and so many folks, and they said, we want to have you here. Thank you also.
Thank you for being a champion.
Yeah, thank you for being a champion.
I wonder who that one follower was.
Right here.
It was unaccounted for. Sweet.
We have been very impressed and very humbled to be here because, again, the amount of knowledge sharing, the amount of information, the amount of collaboration, I'll say that. It's interesting when we have investor-owned utilities and municipalities working hand-in-hand for the betterment of the industry. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. And I'm very passionate about educating and empowering all of the industry stakeholders, right?
Yes.
Marketers, utilities, 100%. Vendors, contractors, everybody who's a part of growing this industry.
Everybody has a stake.
Absolutely. Let's grow the pie together. One of my sayings is protect, grow, tell, right? Protect our industry, grow our industry, and tell our story. And a year ago at the 2023 annual summit here at Chateau Lawn, Chairman Jason Shaw spoke to our group and asked us to work together. You know, stop battling each other internally. Come together. Have a unified voice for the industry. And I really took that to heart as I'm leading the Marketing and Communications Committee for NGA of Georgia. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, come together, share our story, be a unified, consistent message across the state and the country.
Wait, if I had a mic, that's a mic
that's
drop.
We would drop it.
That's right?
Fantastic. And we've seen the output of it, right? Seeing just, so this is our first time here, obviously, but seeing last night, I said one of my favorite parts is where, and I don't mean this as an insult, but a small enough group to where when something passionate is being said, you get an amen from
that. Yeah, like church. Like, holler, let's go.
Right?
Yeah.
And I love that. What I work for. Yeah. So to be able, I can't wait to present this afternoon in front
of
this
group. And I got to follow you guys, so I got to step it up.
You better get ready. It's
no. It'll be easy. If you're following us, you're going to be gold. I mean, no problem.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
No, it'll be great. I think that's a great ramp up. It's usually that, no offense, but the afternoons, they, you know, it's sleepy. Everybody gets their belly full, especially here in Georgia, I'm sure.
Well, especially with this
it's
event.
It's hard. Yeah.
The food here has been outstanding.
Oh, so good. That's why they had to bring us closers in after lunch.
That's what I'm saying.
They know you're high energy. Yeah. Keep the energy up with marketing and communications, too. But, hey, Chateau Lawn, work hard, play hard.
I know.
Good place to be.
The golf was amazing yesterday. The weather was
beautiful.
I mean, give it to NGA for this weather.
Absolutely. And then the wine tasting, or in my event, the smelling. What an educational event. I learned more about this whole, the history of the family and everything. Was fantastic.
How about the tour guide?
Oh,
she was
phenomenal.
A comedy show.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I mean, yeah, on fire.
Yeah, I just pinched myself. Lucky to be here. So grateful y'all are here.
Yes.
And
so blessed.
Looking forward to the rest of the conference.
I think everything you said is a testament of why people should be here, but you have the floor if you would like to motivate anybody back home why they should get involved.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, like I mentioned, coming together with a unified voice, consistent message, you're going to be so impressed this afternoon with everything the marketing communications community is offering. You know, it's going to be career hubs on our website, messaging tools, metrics, data that they can share on their platforms as well. I'm just going to really showcase the value of being a member at NGA. It's endless.
Thank you.
Y'all are awesome.
Thank you so
much. Grateful.
And
y'all
being
are
being a champion of the show. Even
hey, I got
you
y'all.
No reason. To.
I got y'all.
Yeah. Hey, we'll be back.
All right.
Love the courage.
We talked to him.
He called me. He heard that I was at a wine tasting, right? And I'm sober. Yeah, 13 years. Yeah. He's calling me up. He's like, "What are you doing?" And then he sent me a note. He goes, "I'm just busting your chops." He goes, "I know you're there. I smell the wine. I don't taste it."
Okay.
And it's like a bouquet of flowers. So, anyways, love the Colonel.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I know. I
appreciate that.
I was drunk the whole time, Bill. I have to admit.
So it all averages out.
Yeah. I'm drinking for two. No, we're here with our good friend Bill DeFore from the Gas Authority.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we've been around each other, but I feel like we met. I know y'all probably knew each other a little bit before at APGA event last year, American Public Gas Association, somewhere.
Right.
Maybe Louisville or
somewhere. Maybe it was the operations conference in Louisville.
It might have been.
Maybe
that was it. Yeah. And I remember I came up, I was talking to Rodney, and I had some questions about APGA, and he goes, "Come on." And he just introduced me to Bill. Bill, do us a favor. Introduce yourself and who you're with.
Sure, yeah. I'm Bill DeFore. I'm Director of Regulatory Compliance with the Municipal Gas Authority of Georgia.
Heard of them.
We've heard of them. Sometimes known as MGAG.
MGAG,
A lot of acronyms in our industry, Bill.
The Gas Authority.
The Gas Authority. Or the Authority, as sometimes we like to just say.
Yeah. Yeah, many names.
So we do.
Also known as.
They are, yeah.
Kind of like Jimmy. We're at the Natural Gas Association of Georgia this week.
Right.
Right here at the Chateau Yvon. Beautiful property. Awesome event so far. Great people here. You got to be proud watching all the work Rodney's poured in and everybody's poured in.
Yeah, it's a great organization. It is.
It is really neat.
Yeah.
So we have heard some news here recently that you guys have made some changes with some of your programs.
Yeah.
And we're going to be working closely together.
We are, yeah, through our new training program that the Gas Authority approved just this year. So I've been hearing from our membership that training was lacking. You know, training was needed for all the members, just everything from the new guy coming in off the street to operator qualification.
Sure.
Safety needs across the board. You know, the third-party offerings were fading away and new people coming on, transitions. And so we decided to get into it full bore.
Okay.
A program offered to the full membership of the Gas Authority.
And that's 80-plus members?
80-plus members.
Yep.
81, I think, that have operational services.
Wow.
That,
yep.
That if they're a member of the Gas Authority, then they have access to our full program.
That is now through Energy World Net.
It's through Energy World Net. That's right.
We've heard of them. And thank you.
Seen those guys.
I'm just going to connect the dots. Really, when we really got to know Rodney, it was a year or so ago, APGA again. We were out in Scottsdale.
Right.
And, you know, we just became friends immediately, and we just started to talk, and we just started to share knowledge sharing.
Remember, we had him on talking about the SOAR program.
Yes, yeah.
That's kind of where it's
yeah, that's where right.
Started.
Yeah, the APGA SOAR program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing in our industry that when all of a sudden we just have conversations with folks and we share knowledge,
mm-hmm.
vice versa, things go. And look, a year later, we're now into a great relationship and
One of the benefits of the side aisles in these meetings, we survived through COVID doing things virtually, but we missed all those hallway conversations.
Oh, yes.
And the opportunities to just get to know each other.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of that already just in the short time we've been here at this event. Last night, being able to fellowship with everybody, see everybody, such a group. Here, I mean, you can tell great things happening in Georgia because of the people in this room.
Yeah,
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Well, and we see the cooperation between the investor-owned utilities and the municipals here, because we've sort of been separate in Georgia for a long time, and I see NGA bringing that together, and that's a good thing.
And I'll say from a perspective that James and I get to see traveling quite a bit, Georgia is really doing a great thing in that respect, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. a lot of times there is that separation, you know, the investor-owned right. utilities versus the municipalities right. and such, right. you know, just different. And right here, I mean, we just some of the conversations that we've had going on where people are talking about what they can do and how they can, you know, work together in potentially ways yeah. is really...
Find what we have in common. We may have some things that we differ on. Set those aside and work on what we have in common.
It's a great perspective. Yeah. Yeah. Like Mike Jewell says, let's be positive. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
Mike Jewell.
Yeah. Shout out. Drop.
Bill, you've always been involved in the industry doing work. You know, a lot of the work happens in the back rooms, mm-hmm. you know, in a black box that a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah.
What inspired you to get involved? We speak a little bit later today about claiming your seat at the table, and a lot of it is about that thing, right? That right. How do you get involved in this industry and get involved in committees, subcommittees, boards, yeah. you name it. Yeah. What inspired you to get involved?
You know, I got into the industry accidentally, really. My background is general contracting, mostly building, commercial industrial building construction, some utility work over the years, but I found myself out of a job.
Okay.
And there was an opening with the city of Toccoa, my hometown, that has a gas system. And I, within a few months, became utilities director and had to learn about water and wastewater and natural gas. And learned to love the product. I'd grown up with it in my home and knew that, but I had no idea where it came from even
oh, sure.
when I started there.
Sure.
So,
it comes from the wall.
Right?
Yeah. 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 From that first. Yeah. Yeah.
But followed the industry, had support from the city leadership there that let me learn about the regulatory side of it, and I enjoyed that. It was a necessary thing.
Yes, absolutely.
But as I found out more and got involved and started asking people questions and found out, like you said, people will help you if you ask a
That's
question.
Right.
And so, you know, got more just sort of snowballed there into involvement with committees and moved around. And 18 years ago had an opportunity to come to work for the Gas Authority with a new program that was new at that time was our regulatory service.
Sure.
That we're offering. We now have 72 municipals that subscribe to our regulatory service. And so since then, you know, it's an organization that I love working for in an industry that I really believe in.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, as do we, as you can tell, that's why we do this. I mean, we
right.
do, really do. And you mentioned regulatory and, you know, and we really tout safety all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. And we want the delivery of safe, reliable natural gas.
Right.
Safe is the first word there. Through pipeline integrity projects, through, you know, keeping up with replacing lines and such
right.
like that. I
right.
mean, it's nonstop.
Right.
You know, it's not just right. the expansion of the systems, but it's the maintenance and maintaining of the existing
Absolutely.
System and or the replacement of them.
Right.
And it is a 365 day a year job.
Yeah,
it never ends.
Yeah. Yeah. And here at NGA, you know, looking at their goals, they came together with the commonality of marketing and advocacy and
oh,
education.
Yeah.
You can do all that you want to, but if you don't have a safe product that's delivered in the proper manner, it's for naught. And
yeah.
so while
yeah.
we're not really on the agenda at NGA yet for operations and safety, we're here because
yeah.
we have to be. You know, we have to be here first for any of the rest of it to work.
Yeah.
I love it. Bill, thank you for the work you do in our industry.
Absolutely.
You continue to do.
Yeah, thank
to
you.
Be with y'all.
Really
yeah.
appreciate it. We'll be back. Well, one after another.
You know what, though? These are the type of mornings that I like. And PJ, I'm being very honest, is that we've talked to, I think, maybe 5, 6, 7 folks right now.
Yeah.
And you're worried if we're going to make our quota.
Yeah.
Which is very low.
Which is very, well, it was one. Well, our quota was to show up.
So, yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But as I sit back, I've been in the industry. I started at CenterPoint Energy, which used to be known as Minnegasco.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this is 20-plus years ago up in Minnesota. And it's still to this day, it amazes me that when we're here talking to folks, the amount of knowledge that is in our industry,
yeah.
people are sharing and want to share. And I learn something new every day from being in the industry 20 plus years, people hear that and they're like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, no, it's serious. You still learn things each and every day, and it's wonderful, this industry that we're in.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic, and I think there's great opportunity for our industry in the future. I mean, we were just talking in there, in the conference, basically, about what, I mean, a lot of people say, you know, the problem ahead, but I really look at it as the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity on a couple of levels, right? There's a big problem, but a problem means that there's some really cool solutions. And to your point, there's incredibly talented people in the industry. And, you know, that I have a mindset of, you know, it's not a win-lose. You know, I never really understood that. It's, you know, I read a book once and it explained the future as, you know, JFK said, hey, we're going to the moon. And that was an incredible opportunity and problem at the time. The energy future for me is like colonizing Mars. And so what I, you know, hope for that is that instead of people saying we should use this or that, it says, holy cow, we should really like come together around this and find the amazing solutions and put talented people together and work together to solve that, because that's the only way this gets done. And you know, it's just it's a different mindset. And but I do think the right people saying the right message could really bring people together rather than split people apart. And that's a message that I've been communicating here as the chair of the Natural Gas Association. And we want as many friends in out there in all the different industries and all the different energy sectors and in all the different states that we can have.
Amen. We got ahead of ourselves. Do us a favor.
Yeah,
introduce yourself to people back home.
Yeah, no, my name is PJ Zonzius, and I'm the Vice President and GM of NextEra Energy Services, and really proud to serve as the chair of the Natural Gas Association of Georgia.
Very nice. And we are live here from Chateau Elon here in Georgia for the Natural Gas Association of Georgia event. Lots of great stuff happening right behind us. We're kicking off the day. Tons of speakers set up. We get to even speak, which says a lot about your association.
Yeah, it does. It does. You know, we let anybody in.
We're inclusive. Yeah. Now, you've got, as the chair, you've got to be proud of this event and bringing this many people together.
Yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, the event, I think, is an output of the work and the value that the organization puts in. I've been involved for the last 6 years, you know, came on as just a board member. And I like building things. I think that's the thing that gets me up in the morning.
He likes tearing things apart.
Yeah, so no, good thing we're sitting together, right?
I'm telling you.
And, you know, the organization over the last 6 years has really, I'd say grown up, and we've grown up at the right time. You know, there's a lot of opportunities in the industry to talk about our message, and it's been fun to be a part of that, and it's fun to bring people together. We had our first summit 3 years ago. Every year it's growing. Our membership is growing. You know, we created an external affairs committee. We have an R&G committee. So it's, you know, we're touching now all the pieces, and the organization is really coming together. And so to be a part of that, to have an opportunity to lead for a couple of years. And my goal has always been that we get this by the end of my chairmanship to a place where it's funded well, we're engaged well, we have the right people in leadership, and, you know, we just continue on. And we're really close to that, and I'm really excited to be part of that.
And you kind of answer, we've been asking folks about, you know, if you could say something to the audience out there about the value of this association. And honestly, everything that you spoke up to this point validates that and is going to really prompt people that are watching this to say, you know what, the Natural Gas Association of Georgia, I am going to, you know, explore that. I'm going to become a member. I'm going to get involved. As James likes to say, I'm going to claim a seat at the table and have an input.
Yeah, I have very few skills, but selling is one of them. And I like to get out there and talk about our association, and we're really proud of it.
Yeah, and it shows. I mean, you can tell that you have a passion for it, and I always talk about passion and purpose.
Yeah.
If we know what our passion and our purposes are and we do those, great things happen.
Yeah.
So.
No, I 100% agree.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the work you do, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to. Get more people involved.
Thank you guys for showing up.
I really enjoyed it last night. I'll tell you, one of the things I remember most is when somebody's up there speaking, and it's almost like a small group at church, if it makes sense, and somebody's like, amen.
You know when people are feeling it. You can't take yourself too serious, the message doesn't get across.
I love it. Well, appreciate the work you do.
Thanks again, PJ. Yeah, appreciate you.
Oh, it was. On that note, welcome to Georgia.
Thank you for being a contributing member to having us attend.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
Honestly, Mike, we were just talking about, we just met Mike, it was a year ago, it was 2023 out in Scottsdale, APGA.
It was. Mm-hmm.
And then James and Mike walked from India a year or 6 months later. Was it 6 months? I don't know what it was. Yeah, whatever it was.
About 6 months.
Walked from Indiana back over to Kentucky.
Yeah. I had to sign an NDA about that. I didn't know we could talk about that yet.
Yeah.
We did.
I'll tell you,
we get to do a lot of things at these shows, but when we get to be with our friends and experience stuff, that's the best part of it, right?
People laughed at that
when we started talking about it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you what, every time I see somebody, we talk about walking from Indiana
to Kentucky.
It's a pretty cool thing. For a lot of folks don't know that Louisville.
Get it right.
I'm struggling with that one. Anyways, that it is sits right on the river, right on the border, so it was quite an experience. And now we're here in 2024. Couldn't be happier.
Mike, did you know when I realized this week, because we've been traveling a lot, but when I was like, man, we're going to Georgia, I wonder if Mike Jewell's going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I reached out to you, and you were like, I'll see you there, brother.
Oh, yeah. If it's in Georgia, I'll probably be there. That's for sure.
So have you been involved in Natural Gas Association of Georgia?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on the board for NGA.
How long have you been involved? Since the inception?
Not since the inception. Probably a year and a half, going on 2 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're excited to be out here. I know there's great things going on in Georgia.
Sure.
Got big speakers on the agenda this week.
Oh, yeah.
Senator. I hear we're interviewing a senator. Stay tuned.
We'll see if we get past security.
That's the first step. So
how's things over in City of Covington?
Going great. Going great. Busy. Got a lot of things going on, projects going on.
What type of projects? Are you doing replacements, expansions?
Mostly expansions.
Okay.
We have some interesting news. We're trying to develop and use RNG at our CNG facility. So working with some folks to make that happen. Some of them are here. So we're going to have a little sidebar conversation about that.
Can I be included in that?
Sure.
Because of my years of CNG. I started in CNG in 2008, then got into LNG, and then the whole RNG. I explored that. We moved about 3,000 decatherms a day out of a landfill outside of Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of the ins and outs of it. And then we were just in Hawaii. Right. They use a lot of SNG, synthetic natural gas, which, again, was another, as well as through that, there's a byproduct called hydrogen, which is a big topic these days. And they deliver, I think, 12% hydrogen day in and day out, and they've been doing it for decades. So we need to have a conversation about that.
Yeah, we have a CNG facility. It's about 10 years old now.
Okay.
We're one of the first municipalities in the state of Georgia to have one, and it's been very successful. We got a lot of truck traffic. We're right on I-20. Good strategic location, easy access to get on and off to get it, and so. When we looked at that, we also have electric charging stations there for the electric folks.
Okay.
And so we're trying to look at sustainability, and the next step would be, hey, let's go after RNG and see if we can sell RNG. Of course, we have a landfill there in Newton County as well that we're looking at doing a project to possibly connect the chain right there in our own county. So we'll actually be taking – the RNG and selling it there within our own county, hopefully.
I think I might have to make another trip back up to Covington and spend a few days. Yeah, no, seriously, I love that song.
That's kind of my goal, what I'm going to do. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. How about that for Earth Day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I really think a lot of folks don't realize that just naturally under all these landfills there is methane ready to be used.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And let's use it in some productive ways.
Sure.
It's there. It creates itself through the decomposition process, and I think it's just a low-hanging fruit that so many people could really take advantage of and learn. You guys could be a white paper for that going forward.
Hoping so.
Yeah.
Hoping so. Awesome.
Mike, you're always a positive influence for our industry.
Thank you.
Be positive.
Be positive.
Be positive.
Hey, we'll be back.
Very creative. I don't even want to know what happens in your brain, because technical and creative going at the same time.
Yeah.
Makes me want to shake a little bit. So.
You know, I have a performance review coming up. If there's anything you want to say into
the greatness of you, that you are the glue that bonds us day in and day out as we travel around the country, from Hawaii to actually outside the country. We're international. We were in Banff,
okay,
and now we're in beautiful Georgia with
you.
It's
a nice time of year to be here.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
40s in the morning overnight, 70s during the day. This is utopia.
Oh, yeah.
The sunset over the
It's not like this all year, but you're here at the right time.
Okay. I'm not complaining, that's for sure. We know how blessed we are.
Yeah.
We're here with a legend. What was it last night? Is that the Lifetime Achievement Award?
The first ever, I believe, from the Natural Gas Association of Georgia Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm Ian Skelton. Been with Atlanta Gas Light really since 1985.
Okay.
Started out as a co-op student in the Gwinnett office, and then moved to Augusta in '87, and started managing our commercial accounts down there. Installing gas lines for new restaurants and schools and things, and moved up a little bit to the industrial customers, and eventually they transferred me back to Atlanta, and I was managing our industrial accounts statewide. The industry evolved. We went through deregulation. I started doing some other things with respect to renewable natural gas interconnects. We started taking some RNG from landfills in 08, 09 timeframe. And then the natural gas vehicle business started really picking up, and they asked me to manage some existing CNG, compressed natural gas, customers we had. And then it's really just grown from there. And these days I'm focused solely on the natural gas vehicle market. And after almost 40 years, decided to retire, spend some time with family and that sort of thing.
Good.
So got a couple months left, and nice. These kind folks here with the industry association chose to reward me, or award me with this Lifetime Achievement Award. So I'm humbled and thrilled to be the first recipient of it. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is our first time at the Natural Gas Association of Georgia, so we've been impressed so far.
Very
obviously
impressed.
Can't go wrong with the venue. Great job on the weather here, you know. But truthfully, there's a lot of work that goes on behind these doors, and it looks like a lot of collaboration.
Oh yeah,
I'm sure you've seen a lot of that.
Yeah,
the years.
Well, people don't realize what it takes to get that natural gas delivered safely and reliably to your house or your business every day. There's just a whole host of activities, from sourcing the supply of the gas, arranging for transportation on the pipelines, maintaining the infrastructure, building and staying ahead of the growth that we have in this state, and making sure that people can crank up their furnace on those cold mornings, and it's there on the coldest days of the year. And I've been fortunate to be part of all that in many respects. Used to manage our industrial interruptible customer market.
Okay.
So I was the guy that was
had to make the phone call.
Blessed with having to call the interruptible customers and say, hey, we need you guys to curtail the gas. And depending on their contract, have to reduce their take or even go down to zero. And I wasn't always the most popular.
No. And we've had a very similar career, and he doesn't know it yet, but from my time, I was in the same type of group up north in Minnesota. Yeah. Let me tell you, when it got to seven below or worse, curtailed A-Bs and B-plus or B-A or whatever it was.
Yeah.
We did all those. And then I was also had my hand in a lot of C&G and LNG operations.
Okay. Very similar.
Yeah,
career.
Very similar. So he's definitely... We're kindred spirits, so to speak. You know?
If you work hard, you can get a lifetime achievement award.
I don't think so. No.
As hard as Ian.
No. But
we're trying to motivate people to get involved here in the state of Georgia with Natural Gas Association of Georgia.
Okay. Good.
You seeing it firsthand, what would you say to those folks?
Well, I mean, if you're in this space in any way as a gas utility or a supplier to the gas industry or just anybody really in the energy space here, this is a great organization.
Yeah.
I mean, these are folks are really, grassroots, talking about the things that matter and are relevant in today's environment and for our industry. Having the opportunity to network with the folks that are doing this work with other companies and learn about the issues at hand is huge. So I would highly recommend that to anybody in this space.
When it comes from a Lifetime Achievement Award winner, that's the word right there.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate Ian, thank
the work
you.
You've done.
Good talking to you guys.
Absolutely good talking to you.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll be back. I mean, our standard is very high when it comes to quality.
Well, it is. It
obviously.
Is.
Obviously. Do us a favor and introduce yourself.
Sure. So I'm Chris Turner. My title is Managing Director of B2B Markets. I run basically all the commercial operations for a company called Southstar. And Southstar is a Southern-owned entity. We're part of the Southern Company family, but we're branded in each individual market. So we're Georgia Natural Gas in Georgia. We're Florida Natural Gas in Florida. So we're in 10 states. We serve about 650,000 customers. We're, I'll say, one of the very first retailers. So we just celebrated our 25th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we've been in business since the market deregulated here in Georgia. So we're an offshoot of what was AGL Resources that's now owned by Southern Company.
And you guys know each other from work in Florida, right?
Right.
Because I've heard your name in a lot of conversations.
Yeah. So I have brought you up a lot, Chris, just so you know, very complimentary.
He name-drops people just for clout, I think.
Well, I had the true honor to be the president of the Florida Natural Gas Association for the last couple of years. We were the first marketer that did that. That's always been interesting. It's either been a municipal or an investor-owned utility. And so I got to serve as the president. And as I said a moment ago, I have the enviable job now of being immediate past president, which is the greatest job on the executive committee. Right. Not a lot of expectations of you.
The most coveted job.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, past president.
Right.
Yeah. You still get invited to all the good stuff. You just
it's fine. Okay. I have less expectations.
Not my problem.
So I don't have to sit in these sessions. I can sit out here and chat over some coffee.
In the last board of directors meeting down in Florida, I looked over at Chris, and somebody said something. Chris just goes, looks good. You guys all handle that.
Not long gone by then.
Right. No, yeah. Right. Right.
That's awesome. Well, we are live here at the Natural Gas Association of Georgia, a very important group here.
Mm-hmm.
You've been here before?
Oh, yeah. So this organization, when you compare it to the two organizations, right, Florida Natural Gas Association has been around for over 60 years.
Yes.
This is still, I'll say, a relatively fledgling organization, kind of getting up to speed. So I think it's around 10 years. I think 2025 will be 10 years. But we were the first marketer that joined. So I'll say we're sort of the charter marketer member of the NGA and started very early working alongside Rodney Dill. And really, the Gas Authority needs to get a lot of credit for getting this thing up and running.
They do.
Southern Company Gas and Liberty and a lot of us kind of got this off the ground, so it was much smaller, but we've really gotten a lot of momentum the last couple of years. And I'll tell you, PJ has done a great job as the chair the last couple of years doing that. He's very much coveting the immediate past president role in the next 6 months, so he's out of the role. But the organization's come a long way, and we do a lot of great things, I think, to collaborate around a lot of industry issues that are common to all of us, regardless of what chair you sit in.
I agree. And a couple things I want to hit on, too. One, it really is nice to see both in Florida as well as here in Georgia where, again, associate members can take leadership roles.
Oh,
that
yeah.
doesn't happen across the board mm-hmm. in other associations. So it really is the knowledge that you bring to both Florida and here is exemplary, and we appreciate it on both sides. And then, two, I'm going to say here, for me, it was fascinating yesterday sitting back and seeing municipalities and investor-owned utilities having
side by side
having conversations, mm-hmm. you know, about, again, just best practices, industry, you know, and that knowledge sharing was going fluidly. There wasn't that wall between them. It wasn't munis over here and investor-owned over here. It was like, yeah, this is kind of how things work, you know.
Well, the panel we just heard, there was an RNG panel. You had a dairy farmer. You had someone from the city of Dublin. You had Sustain RNG, the developer, and then Carl Garofalo from Southern Company Gas, who has nothing to do with the project, was moderating the panel.
Moderating.
Right? And so it was just a great conversation, and I was talking with Carl afterwards, and he goes, you know, I could have stood up there for an hour and nobody would have got it, but when you hear the farmer standing up there talking about, oh, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
you know, that then you kind of, that's when the rubber meets the road. So it was a real conversations.
Yeah, really real, and it brought me back to my Minnesota days when some of those corn producers up there, mm-hmm. they have heaps after corn season and they're canning corn. They have football fields full of husk. And I'm telling you, 15 years ago, they were saying, hey, we got a lot of methane coming off this. Let's hook up to your grid. I mean, they were bringing it up years and years ago because they realized it. They're like, there's a source here, folks. That was on the forefront. So, again, that hit very close to home with me in my past.
Yeah.
So it was good to hear.
Chris, we're trying to motivate people that maybe aren't involved here at NGA mm-hmm. to
right.
get involved. What would you say to those folks?
Well, first of all, I would say I was just actually talking to a marketer member who's just joined, we've been courting them for many years, and they joined, and awesome. There's real conversations happening here now. The organization has done a great job on the advocacy front to actually get legislation, to get the positive message about our industry out there. So I'll say there's a lot of momentum. One of the things we talked about earlier was, you know, the one thing I could do as a marketer member to sort of when I was at FNGA was, you know, I didn't put all IOUs chairing committees or all munis. I actually got a diverse cross-section of IOUs, munis, and suppliers actually running the committees because it's an organization that requires all of us to sort of come together. And so being in a role here where I served as treasurer for 5 years or so on this association, and I was president down there at the same time, I could say, let's try to bring these organizational messages together. We don't need to be siloed in the way that we're going out to market. And, you know, again, I think I've said it once already, a rising tide raises all boats. When we're all coming together, you know, we may all kind of have different messages, but if we can get that same voice, unified voice out there, I think it works really well for us.
Our perspectives are so important, right?
Yeah.
I think in our presentation, we talk about everybody has a lens, a voice, and a mirror. Right.
I like that.
To be able to provide that no matter where from, but have that consistent backbone of a message through it to where we're educated, we're informed, and we can go out and really spread awareness, I think is vital. Man, I appreciate it. It's nice meeting
you. Yeah, nice meeting you too. Thanks for making the time. All right.
That's great.
Hey, we'll be back.
Could we still talk about New Orleans? Because, you know, it's my...
Well, Jazz Fest too.
Jazz Fest.
We can't wait. Rolling Stones.
I was there twice.
Rolling Stones are here.
6 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I got enough. makes sense.
I can't get enough of the food and the culture and the architecture. Those are the things that I thrive on. I've been going there for years.
Oysters and
Drago's. Yes. We've got to go down to Drago's.
Absolutely.
And some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
Best in the world.
Well, we made fast friends last night, Jimmy.
We did make fast friends last night. All of a sudden, not only did we get to meet Mary, but she gave a great keynote. She was on stage, you know, talking about an organization we want to get into in a little bit. The name again?
Natural Allies.
Natural Allies. We're going to get into that. But she's up on stage. She goes, and I get to be on a podcast tomorrow with Jimmy and James. And I like, because it's, you know, Coffee with Jim and James. And I'm like, how does she know I go by Jimmy in the industry?
You just put off Jimmy vibes.
Absolutely,
and that's
he does.
That's a term of love and affection for everybody in the industry that knows me. So thank you for saying that.
Well,
so.
I'm glad we connected. And I could tell you guys were outlaws from the minute I saw you. So
she knows us. She knows us.
we're here with a senator, and I had to get clarification. You know, we don't sit down with a lot of senators, I'll be honest.
Mike Fezzi. Do you know Mike from Louisiana?
Yes, I know of him. Yep. I don't know him as well, because, okay, of course, I served there many years ago and then recently served in the U.S. Senate. So, yeah, I'm trying to keep up with everybody, but can't quite do it.
Give us a favor, Senator. Will you introduce yourself to people back home?
I will. I'm Mary Landrieu. I'm originally from New Orleans. I served in the legislature earlier in my career as state treasurer, and then I served, had the great privilege and honor of serving in the United States Senate for 18 years. So from 1997 to 2014, and spent most of my time on the energy, well, spent all of my time on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and a lot of my time on energy issues. Helping us get a just revenue share with the federal government for some of our southern states, of which the Gulf Coast states will really benefit, instead of just keeping all the revenues at the federal level, and then worked on education reform issues and adoption and foster care. Those were kind of my favorites. But today I do all energy, all environment.
That's your focus.
Which I'm boring.
No, absolutely not.
So what made you go that direction?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking, because it's an important one. You know, I've always in my life wanted my work to count for something, wanted to serve more than just myself or, you know, my family, which I love dearly, and have 8 siblings and 37 nieces and nephews, a fabulous husband, 2 children, and an amazing, almost perfect, like Ann Richards used to say, 10-year-old grandchild. But I just was raised in a family that said our job was to really try to serve the world. My father was educated by the Jesuits. I was educated by the Ursulines. It's just, you know, the motto, serviam, for us. And I could have done it in many different ways, but public service just kind of worked out. Elective office worked out. I actually won my first race, which was amazing. And then ended up, you know, staying, you know, in, and people kept electing me. Yeah, people kept electing me. And so when I got out, I just thought, you know, I don't need the title. I need just to keep doing the work. And I love the work. I truly love the work.
It shows.
And so I decided this issue, because the world is at a crisis point. We've built an amazing energy infrastructure for the globe. Now, we still have 2 million people that don't have access, billion, that don't have access to electricity. But let's just say the United States, Europe, most everybody has electricity, et cetera. We've risen out of poverty. We've created the greatest middle class ever in the history of the world. You could maybe argue with the Chinese, but they're not necessarily free middle class, so that's a whole other issue. But, you know, we now have to get this climate issue under control. We've put too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So how do we produce more energy, get the bad stuff out of the air, and keep our people employed, growing, and happy and prosperous? Big challenge. Mary Landrieu loves that.
And it's a balancing act, right?
Yep. Absolutely. So what you all do, helping to educate people and share these issues, because we have to kind of do it all with a purpose, you know, all the above with a purpose, and that's getting the carbon out of the atmosphere that's hurting us, raising our temperatures and hurting us.
And, you know, Mary, we talked about this last night, about, and James uses this term all the time, our echo chamber, and you did a beautiful job last night of saying, you know, we all in this room and our community and our industry get it. We get it. But what about the people that aren't in that? And our industry is big, but it's those people that right are on the other fringe of it that
absolutely
just don't understand.
And also, when you think about it, in some ways, it's a blessing that over 300 million Americans wake up, and really they never really think about it. Their lights just go on, their car starts, they go to the gas station, there's
the coffee's hot.
I mean, we live in such a rarefied world. When you travel to other countries like we all have, there are no guarantees of that. I mean, it is dark, it's cold, it's, you know, and so I think Americans are like, oh, wow, how does this energy system work? Where does our energy come from? Now everybody's telling us we have to get rid of this or get rid of that, or we can't. So they're confused.
Yeah.
So I think programs like this are so good because that's what we don't need to talk to each other.
Yeah.
We need to talk to everybody out there, the
everybody
school
out there.
Teachers, the restaurateurs, the small business owners, the folks that they don't really need to know all the details, but now that the questions are before them, should we have electric vehicles or gas vehicles? Or should we have both? Should we have hybrid? What should the federal government's rules be regarding all this? Should we use gas or should we go all electric? They're getting confused. They're like, hey, wait a minute. I don't know all the... And we should tell them, okay, mm-hmm. these are the trade-offs, you know? And my view, which is why I go with Natural Allies, was created by several amazing, in my view, CEOs of midstream pipe companies. Those are the companies that move the gas. They don't drill for it. You know, they don't sell it. Well, they sell it. They don't drill for it. But they move it from mm-hmm. where it's drilled
to transport the gas.
Yep. The midstream pipeline companies. And they just got tired of being the bad guys. Like, hell, excuse me. Heck, you know, we're not the bad guys. You know, we are the good guys. We're moving gas that's replacing coal because it's dirtier. And we're giving people cleaner choices at an affordable rate. And what people don't understand, because all the kids these days, including my own, tell me, Mom, we're running the whole world on wind and solar. I said, good, sweetheart, you just keep on thinking that. But until we have long-term battery storage, gas is the storage. We have 100-year supply
mm-hmm.
stored.
Yes.
Stored, literally, in the ground,
yep.
waiting to be used. You can move it easily. It's not dangerous. Now, you have to maintain your pipes, of course.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
pipeline
your
integrity process. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that's what I'm hoping people can understand. And you need gas to back up wind and solar. Because mm-hmm. when the wind stops blowing, it just goes, you know, down. You have a little bit of battery storage, but you can't run a whole city if the wind stops blowing for 10 days, and sometimes it does, or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the sun goes away for several days. What are you going to do? Tell everyone in Los Angeles, sorry, you guys, take a break.
No driving today.
No driving today.
You mentioned something last night. For those not here, obviously, we spent some time together last night, had an awesome dinner, and you spoke. You mentioned about how much time and effort and how honestly amazing this transformation has been in America of going in really the last 20 years flipping the table to be in the position we are now and to how reckless it would be to throw it all away.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you all remember. I mean, in the 1970s, I mean, I'm older than you guys, but, you know, but in the 1970s,
the lines at the gas pump,
and people were flipping out, and this is really archaic, but I remember this. If you had a license plate that ended in an odd number, you went in gas, remember that? On Mondays, or it was like either your birthday or the license plate, and then you could only get gas on Tuesdays if you, I mean, And then we were going, begging Saudi Arabia. Think about that. A country that now it's very developed now, and I have a lot of positive things to say about Saudi Arabia. But back then, I mean, it was Bedouins in tents. And here we are, the greatest nation in the world that won World War II, begging them to send us oil. It was humiliating, and not just from pride standpoint, it's dangerous to have to rely on people that don't always share your values to get the things you have to have to run your company. So fast forward, George Mitchell, this amazing guy, I've never met him, but I've read a lot about him. He's an oil and gas guy out of Texas, had booms and busts like many people in the business, and he just kept thinking with his engineers, there's a way. And so he cracked the shale, which is a tough rock, getting gas out of a rock, and you put liquid in it, and mm-hmm. But it can be safe. It's not like you're putting dangerous chemicals. It's mostly water, you know, cracking up the rock.
14,000 PSI.
Well, you know this. Yes, yeah, frac pads. And they got this gas out, and then we started discovering gas all over. We have gas in New York. You wouldn't know it since they shut gas down, shut nuclear down. Good luck, New York, trying to run your city. Good luck with that. But they have gas in New York, gas in Pennsylvania, of course, Texas, Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. And so we're like, we have all this gas. It's cleaner than coal. Why don't we use it? And then Toby Rice, who's one of our leaders, who's a phenomenal young guy, really amazing young guy who's the CEO of one of the largest gas producers in the world, EQT. He said we should be exporting our gas, and we need to get it to Japan. They don't have, they're our ally. They're helping us in our fight, not fight, but with China. But Toby wants to export it, and then here we have President Biden saying, oh, sorry.
Yeah, no LNG. No LNG. Liquefied natural gas is the way we get it to Japan.
Yes.
That's the only way.
And the technology is amazing. These ships, we employ thousands of people building these plants. We have, I represent Venture Global, which is one of the largest and I think one of the most amazing producers and marketers of this. But, you know, you have Sempra, you have Freeport, you have so many different companies, Shell, all of them. And if we can get the coal plants in China shut down, coal plants in India shut down, which is hard to do because, of course, that's their source and they, just like us, are protective of it. But there's got to be a way that we can do that and then transition to more wind, more solar, more hydro.
And let me just ask
you. And nuclear.
And let me just ask you a follow-up question, a statement. A lot of people ask me, they're like your daughter, you said, wind and solar. And I said, you know, I view energy portfolio almost like a 401k portfolio that you start when you're young, okay, and it's a portfolio, it's diverse, but you're planning for 40-some plus years in the future. When people are saying now, hey, you know, we have 7 years and we're going to be, what's your thoughts on about this, these time frames?
Well, first of all, the time frame that the scientists talk about is true, okay? And I want to respect what the scientists say. Like, we just have a short amount of time. I understand that, and that is correct. However, we, at least in America, live in a democracy, not a dictatorship. And you can't just boss people around. You people have to decide. Georgia has to vote. Louisiana has to vote. The counties in Georgia have to vote. The counties in Louisiana have to vote.
There's a process to it,
and it's slow. And so what I'm saying is, if we were a dictatorship and you could just get the dictator to stand up and say, okay, this city shuts down, this city's being bulldozed, you know, this company, we're taking over your assets, we're changing them to X, well, that might work. We don't live in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have to realize that science is true, but this is not the world we live in. We live in a world that you have to convince people and move people and do it in a way that actually makes sense for the money. Unless the taxpayers of this country believe that the federal government has all this money that they can just give out, which they don't believe that because it's not true, we have to incentivize business that has the money. The private capital, trillions of dollars in the hands, thank God, of the private sector, not the government. Government has a lot of money, but the private sector has more, as it should be. And we have to go to these companies like Shell and Exxon and say, hey, guys, what can we do to incentivize you all to start moving? And they are lower carbon solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, Jimmy. It's going to take a long time. And those are just the facts. And people say, well, then we'll blow our goals. No, you won't. It won't be as fast as you want, but it's a surer path. And then we can do interesting things. Like one thing I represent also is Climeworks, which is the cutting edge company in the world operating in Iceland. This is not pie in the sky. It's up, operating, et cetera. You can go online and see it, Climeworks. They literally created a big vacuum cleaner to get the carbon out of the atmosphere.
Really?
Yes,
okay.
It's called direct air capture. It's a new technology. Bill Gates says we need this technology to explode. Too expensive today, but you know what? So were televisions, you know, when we first bought them.
Yeah.
And now it's gone down. So were cell phones, and now it's gone down.
And again, if we're on a 100-year, 150-year journey for this goal, mm-hmm. and everybody's working together for a reasonable and mm-hmm. doable goal, mm-hmm. as opposed to 7 years
of... Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like somebody saying, we're going to remodel your kitchen, and it's going to be done in 7 days.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
Like, what about the planning?
What
about
exactly. It's terrifying.
Right? I don't want that kitchen.
Yeah.
No.
It's terrifying, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mary, I know we appreciate the work you're doing in our
Absolutely.
Industry.
Absolutely.
I know a lot
Absolutely.
Of people that maybe aren't as vocal, not mm-hmm. as connected, not involved. I feel the same way. We love what's going on here at the Natural Gas Association of Georgia.
Yeah.
So thankful we've got to sit down with you.
Thank you, guys.
I hope you continue to do
I
awesome
will,
work.
Promise.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank Y'all you. Come visit us in New Orleans, and when you come to D.C., maybe we'll set up in the Capitol like or something. Oh, my gosh. And I'll warn
wonderful.
People that y'all are in town.
What a liability. Hey, we'll be back.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, we may use it. We may not. Who knows? Content's content.
This week far exceeded my expectations. I had high expectations, but the things that they got going on here at the Natural Gas Association of Georgia have totally impressed me.
Yeah, I like that. And I'm going to say it again. It's not a bad thing. The small group kind of feel to it. And what I mean is not a small group for a state-level industry forum, but to be able to sit in a group and be able to hear the people in the back react and ooh and ah and clap. And like I said, it's nice to hear an amen from the back here and there when a good point's made. A lot of friends here that we knew from other shows, too, which is cool. You always think you're going to come to an event, brand new event that awesome. You're like, I don't know, hope I know someone.
We knew a lot of folks here. Yeah. I mean, we again, given our schedule, James, you know, we've been going back to back, literally week to week to week.
Yep.
So I didn't have a lot of prep time to go through and really explore who was all going to be here. So it was really, on Monday, it was really like out of the blue, you know? I mean, really kind of like, wow, you're here, and just catching up with
Stuart
folks.
Salters, you run into Mike Jewell, people like that, Salt of the Earth folks doing good work here in Georgia. I've learned a lot this week. We just had a conversation where I learned quite a bit. Being able to sit down with people again and hear their stories and hear it from their perspective is invaluable for me. It's how I paint it in. I feel like it's what we do for a living, but we take for granted because people will come down and sit with us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I learn stuff every day. We got to sit down with a senator and talk shop this morning.
One senator, two representatives, and again, hearing it from their perspective, too. And people think the natural gas is an easy thing. You go to your stovetop and turn it on and it's there. But when you really take a step back, even for me after 25 years in the industry, to take a look at all the cogs, all the pieces that are really needed to deliver safe, reliable natural gas, it's intense. And
there's
it's humbling, though, at times.
And it's also important. No matter which part it is, all of us has to do
absolutely.
Our jobs, our roles in the conversation. It has been neat to hear people get it here. And what I mean is... not every event we go to do we get droves of people waiting in line to get on. And what I mean is you could tell the work that this group did beforehand to be sure that they got the right people coming in and talking with us to help spread that message. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do, right, is spread awareness. So it's been neat, a great event in regards to the orchestration of the whole thing.
Oh.
This venue's amazing. Lots of forethought. It was neat to work with Jen and Grace.
Oh, yeah.
All week.
And Rodney, being...
Rodney's now our agent.
Yeah.
whether he likes it or not.
If we could have... the neat thing about Rodney is even like last night we were here, we did a few recordings, and then, Rodney would be like, hey, tomorrow morning you're going to have blank on. And we're like, we don't know. He goes, we got him on tomorrow morning. Yeah.
And then we got...
Boom, 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 boom.
I
mean,
swear,
by 9:30, I think we had six people on by 9:30.
Yeah. I mean, it's only 11.
I know.
We haven't taken a breath, I don't feel like.
No.
When we speak this afternoon, we're actually recording, getting this thing wrapped up because we've got a quick turnaround. Like you said, we're going to be in Seattle next week at AGA.
Yep.
Excited to bring a story back from there. A little bit of a spoiler, we're going to be doing some work with PG&E. Talking about
A
really neat program they got going on over there, so stay tuned for that. We're excited for it. This season's about getting out there, getting the field, talking to folks that are out there doing the work, and I feel like we're doing that, Jimmy.
We are, and kudos to you and Carly for all the work with PG&E, because that's timing is great, just hopping down the coast, so kudos.
AGA is going to be big, but this week has been big, too, here in Georgia. It's nice to be here with you, as always. Missing our co-host.
Ashley?
Yeah, this was not a Sometimes Ashley event, you can tell. No, it's been great. We hope to continue to bring great stories from our industry. Tell a friend about the show. How
Please, pass it on. Just tell one person.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to go get on stage, but thank you all for joining us. Jimmy, as always.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, we're shaking hands for the people on the headphones. We forget we're not recording sometimes. Hey, thank you all for joining us.
Have a great day. Stay safe, everyone.